Y'all will be picking me up over this chair. All right. Man, I know it's raining, but I'm excited to be here tonight. Can you believe it is week four? Yeah, it's week four. Time flies when you're chasing Jesus. Time flies. So, yeah, it is week four. And I want y'all to look, because I want to dig into this, because I've got lots of material to cover. And so, the first 3 weeks, what are the first three things we studied? What was week one? Yeah, this is a question needs answer. What was the first thing we studied? What was the first thing we went over? What week one? Prayer. What was week two? What was week three? Okay, I want you to look at this. And if you don't think that we talk about this thing called process, all right, and if you don't think that this isn't an ordained process to build you closer to God, we learned different types of prayers, okay? Then we took a tool out of God's toolbox called the SOAP method in order that we may understand and study the Word better, that we may draw closer to Him. And then we talked about fasting. And fasting is another tool in the toolbox of God that disconnects us from the world and draws us closer to God. So we learned about prayer, and we learned about getting closer to God. Those are key elements in what we're fixing to talk about. And those key elements we're going to talk about is how to know and understand the voice of God. This is one of the most powerful things that we can obtain, because if we're not hearing the right thing and understanding and comprehending what's being downloaded into us, we can have a preconceived notion, a wrong notion, a wrong thought about what God is speaking into our lives. Sam, when you come up, I want you to read something for me. So we're talking about how to know and understand the voice of God. I'm going to get Sam to read the introduction, all right, in your book. And if you all will, follow along. And when she reads this, the reason I'm having her read it is interaction, okay? Y'all probably get tired of hearing me yammer. But when she reads it, I want you to follow along, and I want you to see what's being said here, because what we're fixing to introduce is this is what we are going to tear apart today. This is what we're going to dissect and figure out. So, Sam, read the introduction for me.
Okay. Sorry if I sound stuffy, but all right. Most of us are familiar with praying. We know and understand the importance of talking to God and spending time with Him. Having a consistent time of worship and prayer are vital and essential to a healthy, growing relationship with Jesus.
Stop right there. Consistent time of worship and prayer are vital and essential. What are we here for? To grow with Jesus. We've already talked about these elements right here. We've already begun to implement. You should have begun to implement these very elements into your weekly time with God and your weekly walk. Keep going.
Hey, this isn't in the book. I think everybody's looking, but it's not in the book, right?
Yes, it is. It says introduction.
That's in our book. That's in our
book. Oh, this is what?
It's in our book.
I am so sorry. I didn't know it was not in y'all's book. Okay.
We'll follow along.
Okay, well, just keep reading. Follow along. My bad. I didn't know it wasn't in your book.
Try to be more dramatic when I read.
Okay. That's all right. Well, just really pay attention then.
Okay.
My bad.
All right.
Go ahead.
The fact is that when we pray, we are spending time with a real, personal God who loves us and longs to be close to us. The problem is not that we fail to let God know what we need or want from Him. It's that we fail to remember that prayer is a two-way conversation between us and Jesus. A conversation is not one person talking while the other sits and listens. Yet, that's how many of us treat our prayer time. We sit in our chair and we tell God everything and ask Him for all that we need, but we fail to practice the other side of prayer. Listening for and to the voice of God. Many believers know how to pray, but few know how to recognize and listen to the voice of God. In order to have a real conversation and deeper relationship with God, we must give Him time to talk and respond to all that we are saying and asking Him to do in our hearts and lives, to share His heart and His desires for us.
Okay, thank you. So the reason I had her read this is because I thought y'all were going to get to follow along, and I wanted to point some things out, but I'm going to just back up just a second and take a second because I think this is very important. The very last thing she read was says, many believers know how to pray. And remember, prayer is conversation, okay? I know how to talk to my wife. I'm still learning how to listen to my wife correctly. So we all know how to talk to God because nobody has a problem telling God exactly what you need. Nobody has a problem. Nobody's ever come to say, brother, will you pray for me? I don't know how to tell God what I need in my life. We know our needs are wants, okay? So we don't have a problem telling it. But it says very few people know how to recognize and listen to the voice of God. That's what we're going to talk about today. It says in order to have real conversation and deeper relationship with God, we must give him time to talk. See, this I think is one of our biggest snags is we don't want to give God time to do anything. We want God to speak right then, right now. I'm in a hurry. I need this. But the importance of giving time to God time to talk and us time to listen is that's where we grow. That's where our structure comes from. If God was a genie and just answered these prayers like this, how much faith would we have to have? How much patience would we have? How much endurance and strength and how much character and integrity and courage would be built in our life? It wouldn't. Because we'd just rub the old lamp called the Bible and God answer our questions and there would be absolutely no relationship. So that time that we're waiting and listening is so valuable to knowing and understanding how to listen to God, because in those times of waiting, and we're going to talk about this in a lot in depth more conversation in a little bit, in those times shows us who we are and it shows us who he is. Okay, so let's move right into this. Okay, does God really talk to us today? I'm not going to sit here and linger on this because we all know the answer is yes. If we did not really believe that God wanted to talk to us today, we wouldn't be in here. Why would we be in here seeking something that we didn't believe God was willing and able to do? God desires to talk to us. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's so vital. If we're going to receive it, we have to believe it. If we don't believe that God talks to us, why are we talking to him? So we have, in order for us to move on through this study, is we have to understand that he hears our voice and he knows us and that we will follow him because we do recognize him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, right at the first, says, call to me and I will answer you. Call to me and that's why I'm here, is because there are some things in my life that I need God to do for me. And there's some things in y'all's life that you desire God. So I'm here calling on God because I want answers from God myself. Isaiah 30:21. Now I want to stop here just a second. It says, and your ears will hear a word behind you. What is that word? What is that word it's referring to? If we're listening for God, when God speaks to us, what is he speaking to us? And that's called what? The Bible. Word of God. That's what the word is, okay? And it says, saying, this is the way, walk in it. Walk in what? That's right. Walk in my guidance. You want to know, you want me to speak to you? Listen to this voice of mine that's wrapped up in the word of God. Listen to this and walk in this and you'll hear me. You will hear what I'm saying. It says, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. So God's saying, no matter which way you go, listen to my word and walk in my commands. Walk in my word. So I have a question for you. Why don't more Christians hear from God? Why don't more Christians hear from God? Isaiah 30:21 says, we hear a word. Is that distracting? Turn it down a little bit. Come on down. What? Come down. So why don't we hear from God? Why don't more Christians hear from God? Too much noise. too much noise, the instant, this isn't in your notes, the instant he turned that up, everybody's attention went right back there. Too much noise. We have too much secondary noise in our life. And the secondary noise separates us from the voice of God. Now, I'm not saying these secondary noises are good or bad. They can be bad and they can be good. I got a prime example. This weekend, I was having a conversation with my wife, and a very important conversation, and my middle daughter comes in, and all she can do is tell me she can't find her remote, and she's interrupting this important conversation. Biblically speaking, my wife and God's order is more important than my daughter. It's God's order. It's called the umbrella. Okay? And so what me and my wife, but this is a noise that's coming in that's secondary to the primary voice that I'm trying to listen to. And this secondary voice could have done one or two things. We told her, hey, go find it, deal with it. I'm talking to your mother. We got away from that secondary noise. But here's what would have happened if I would have entertained that secondary noise. If I would have got up from the conversation and broke the momentum of conversation, I'd have went and tried to help her find the remote. She'd have become disinterested in what we were talking about. I'd have come disinterested in what we were talking about. And before you know it, we would have never finished the conversation. Because a secondary voice, a secondary noise was pulling me away from the primary. Our children's do it. Our job does it. Our work does it. Our families do it. Our friends do it. And those all have a place in our life, but they have to have the right place. So for an example, not everybody drives 30 minutes to work. I do. Just say that I'm really seeking God for something. I really am praying about something. And I spend about 6 or 7 minutes in prayer. And the minute I get through praying, all of a sudden I reach and turn that radio up. I can't expect to hear God. But if I spend that time in prayer, and in that time, because I know when I get to work, this guy's going to need something, and they're going to want this done, and they're going to want this estimate done, and this is going to have to happen. And that becomes my primary voice at work because it's my responsibility. But my drive, the time I've set apart for me and God, God's the primary voice. And so if I get through doing my prayer, if I'll sit there and linger and let God speak to me, and get that noise out of my life, God will speak to us. He speaks to me, and I know he speaks to y'all, because the Word of God says he still speaks to us today. So let's look at these other three reasons why more Christians don't hear from God. Let me get some of this. This is, I call this prison water. I don't know why. I know why. Because when I went and talked to the prison last, that's the cup that they served me the water in. Just like that. I know. That's how my brain works. Sorry, guys. Number one, why don't more Christians hear from God? Because many Christians don't actually talk to God as much as they think they do. Instead, they are quick to talk to others about him and about their problems. Therefore, no message is ever sent to God on their behalf. I get way more accomplished talking to my wife about the problems that we have than I ever do talking to somebody else about our problems. You think about that. We want to go to our girlfriends, and we want to talk to our girlfriends about what our husband's not or not doing instead of taking it to God. I think a lot of times, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, the reason why we don't take it to God, we're scared of what he's going to say. And we're scared of what he's going to ask us to do. Number two, others are great at talking to God about all kinds of things, especially their problems. However, they don't ever stop and listen to what he may have to say in response to their requests and complaints. Or they might listen like we just talked about, but what God's saying, they don't want to hear it, so they disregard it as the voice of God. Because what God's saying isn't lining up in my life. Because I'm sitting here praying, why won't my husband do this? Or no, why won't my wife do this? And God's saying, well, why won't you be the man I've called you to be first? Well, there's no way. That's God. I'm perfect. I do everything in my house. I cook, I clean, I work, I provide, I do this, I do this. I. And God's saying, that's your problem, is you got so much of I in you that you can't get out of the way and you can't hear me. And so what I'm speaking to you, you won't receive because it don't line up with your will. That's the one of the reasons why we talk all this to God. We say all of this to God, and God gives us true biblical a walk, and we say, oh, I don't like that one. That goes against everything that I stand for, God. So God says, all right, I'll take my hands off of it, but you keep coming to me about and petitioning me. We wonder why we petition about the same thing over and over and over. I have a feeling God talks to us, but we don't listen because God's not telling us exactly what we want to hear. But if we get down to the truth of it, if we listen to if God give us exactly what we wanted to hear, it would more than likely end in destruction. And then we go blaming God for it. And the whole time God said, yeah, hang on a second. I downloaded the information you needed. You just didn't want to listen to it because you wanted your will. Well, then you got it. And number three, then there are some who talk to God all the time and even try to listen to his voice. However, they incorrectly interpret what he was saying, which gets them into some potential problems and sticky situations. This goes back to the knowledge of the word and yada, yada, yada. We're going to talk about the knowledge of having the knowledge and wisdom of God. But right there on number three, there are some who talk to God all the time and even try to listen. However, they incorrectly interpret it. I'm gonna give you a prime example. Say someone that's making minimum. I know I'm not knocking anybody for making minimum wage. All right, just say you make $15 an hour. We'll start right there, and you say, you know what? I'm gonna pray for God because I want $1 million house. Okay, and so I'm gonna pray to God. God bless me with that $1 million house that I know I can afford, but I know that you have cows of 1,000 hills, and you walk on streets of gold, and I was reading Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, let me run down here to this. No, 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 no. That is not what that scripture means. That's wrong interpretation. That would be like me talking to God about running the Boston Marathon next week. He is not going to say, go get you some shoes, son, and go. Go put on some spandex and run. He's not, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, you will die. Same principle. Same exact principle. God is not going to tell you if you're financially unable to purchase something because that scripture says what that scripture means is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me if it is his will. That's what that scripture means. Quit misinterpreting that scripture. All right? The scripture about if I seek, I'll find. If I knock, I'll answer. That doesn't mean if you seek riches that you're going to be rich. It doesn't mean if you knock on the door of the wrong relationship that he's going to bless it. What it means is if you seek my will, you will find my will. If you knock on my door, I will open it. If you ask, it will be given if it lines up with my will. But we don't like hearing that. We want to misinterpret it because we want the Bible to fit for us and to our life. And God says, no, I created you to fit the Bible. How does God speak to us? Joyce Meyer says this, God declares that he speaks, and when he does, he speaks in righteousness. We can always depend on what he says to be right, especially when we don't like it. So we're fixing to do... come here. This group work, okay? So this is what we're going to do in this group work. We're going to look up and read these assigned passages. Everybody has it, correct? All right, I'll make sure everybody's got that. We're going to look up and read these and answer these questions as a group. Number one, we're going to take about 10 minutes to do this. To whom did God speak in this passage? And this is 1 Samuel 3, 2 and 2, 14. I'm not going to go over the story. How did God speak? What was their response? So forth and so forth. Y'all read that as a group, and we'll come back at 7:41 and a half. All right, let's go over this as a group real quick, and we'll move into the next section. So just throw your hands up if you have a throw your hands in there. No. Okay. Do what? Whatever, dude. All right, so number one, who did God speak to in this passage? Tina's table. Who else did he speak to? All right, that's good. All right, who was Samuel to Eli? How did he speak to Eli? Through Samuel? That's that recognition of God's here. That's recognizing he Samuel kept coming to him and said, hey, and he said, oh, hang on a second. Because Eli, we don't have the ability to know these things. It's God didn't audibly speak to him, but because of his relationship. And look, and Eli was kind of, him and his family was way out there against God. But he still recognized, hang on a second, that's God speaking. Yeah, it's there's different ways God speaks to us. We're going to talk about that. It wasn't an audible voice, but he also spoke to him because he knew who was speaking to Samuel. Say that again, Jamie. She just said, y'all hear that? The message says that it dawned on Eli that he was calling the boy. We're not going to go. We can't go into it because we're going to finish talking about that in just a second. Well, he knew. Yeah. So I want to see how deep y'all dug on number two. How did he speak to the individual or individuals? Huh? There was one other way he spoke to Samuel. How did Samuel recognize? Who told Samuel that it was Eli? Not only did he hit Samuel three times with he actually if you read the whole scripture he talked to Samuel four times, talked to him three times to realize who it was, and the fourth time he called him again, but he talked to him three times, and then he comes back and he speaks through him through Eli. Okay, number three. Let's take this table right back there. Where's my glasses? I was like, why can't I see anybody? I put them back in my case for some reason. So crazy. Okay. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Remove the scales from my eyes. I can see. So what was their response to what he said?
Here I am. Do
what? What was their response to what God said? What Samuel say? Basically, that's what he said. Huh? Say that again. Yes. He's like, all right, God, I hear you now. I know it's you. I'm listening. You got my attention. Oh, he was very confused. He thought Eli was playing tricks on him. My mind playing tricks on me. It's not old. I don't know about that. That's old school. Number four, how does God use that specific method to speak to us today? This table right here. How does, huh? See, we have no, that's good. We have an advantage. See, we got the spoken word of God bound in a book. They didn't have that. So we may not always get this audible voice, but we have a downloaded recording. You can get it audible if you need to. But we have it downloaded in between in a bind book, and this is how God speaks to us. That's his audible voice to us. And number five, what can interfere with our ability to hear God when he uses this method? Huh? Stress? Huh? Lack of faith. There's another one. Lack of what? What does God desire with us to that we know him more? There it is. Relationship. Connectivity. That's right. What is one of the enemy's greatest tools? Separation. Distraction. All right. Confusion. That's good, Tina. That's right. Now, we're fixing to burn. I tell you, I cut my thumb off, and it was a thumb that I used to unlock my phone. And I'm here to tell you, it's been a tough day, but I'll tell you what, God spoke to me through this thumb, I promise. Huh? Do what? He did. God did speak to me through this thumb, I promise. Okay. So let's talk about how God speaks to us and what method he speaks to us through. Number one, it's the word, the Bible. It's pretty easy. We're not going to linger to it. I do want to read this scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed, and listen, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for what good work? Every good work. When God speaks to us through his word, it's for every good work. It's not for evil works. It's for every good work that he calls us to do. That's called his will. All right. If you look at 2 Kings 22, all right, we're not going to go over every one of these stories. You can go back and study, but this is a great example of the power of the word, how it was bearing. They found it in the temple when they were rebuilding the temple. And anyway, he spoke it, and you just have to see the power of the lack of the word and then the power of the word applied. And that's what that story talks about. When God speaks, what he says will never contradict or disagree what he has written in his word, the Bible. Okay, you want to know if it's written in the word? You want to know if it's the voice of God? If you feel it, when you take it to the word, it's called testing the spirit. Okay, you test that when you feel that God's speaking to you about buying that $1 million house on that $15 an hour budget, you need to go and go read about what God says about being a good steward. Okay, number two, knowledge and understanding of his character. Man, this is a big one right here, guys. Knowledge and understanding of his character. There's a humankind statement. This is factual, all right? But we're going to apply it biblically. And that statement, and everybody's heard it, is knowledge is what?
Power.
Knowledge is power. So if knowledge is power, if that statement is true, and it is, the more you know about the area that you're expertise in or whatever it is, the more power you have. So basically what it's saying is the more you know, the more you know. So the more we know about God, the more we know about God. The more we know God, the more we know God. So look at this. This is pretty cool right here. Okay. Deuteronomy 32:3-4 says, for I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. Look, it says, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. These are character descriptions of God. Well, how do we believe that these are character descriptions of God? How do we believe God is who he says it is? What's the word? Faith. What does Romans say about faith? Do what? Faith comes by what? Hearing what? All right, we're going to dig into that here in just a little bit. So this thing about knowledge is we have to be able to obtain this knowledge. You can obtain knowledge, but not only can you obtain it, you have to retain it. All right, what I mean by that is we can't just hear characteristics of God. We have to hear them. We have to receive them. We have to absorb them. We have to believe them, and we have to apply them. And that comes from knowledge and understanding of his character. Exodus 3:5-7, that's another example of when God passed in front of Moses, and basically God was kind of showing off a little bit, showing his characteristics to Moses. If you want a story to study about characteristics of God. Number three, guidance and counsel from Christian leadership. Listen to what Proverbs says about this, because I want to sit here just for a second. Proverbs 15:22 says, where there is no counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. I hated the idea of counseling most of my life. And the reason I hated the idea of someone else that didn't know me is going to speak something and tell me how to do it, is I took it as criticism. But I can tell you through circumstances, it's one of the things that saved our marriage. Counseling is one of the most, no, let me back up, godly counseling, because you can get some wrong counseling that'll destroy you. Good godly counsel from Christian leadership will change your life. I wish that I could do it once a month. I wish that I could go and sit down with good, godly counseling once a month and discuss things with them. Okay? The problem with counseling is, and I think it's more of a man thing than anything, but I know it's going to speak to everybody, is we have a problem accepting it. Because we feel like it's an attack on our character. We feel like there is this individual that, and if it's a godly counselor that God has anointed and called to speak into your life, and we feel that there's judgment, we feel that they're peering in and seeing things that they shouldn't, and if I relinquish this, they're going to judge my character and it's going to destroy my character, and that is a lie from the enemy. Counseling is not intended for criticism. All right, counseling is beneficial. It is constructive. It does not destruct. Yes, there's things in counseling that have to tear you down in order to build you back up. But counseling, wise, godly counseling from a Christian leadership will allow a believer who's anointed in that area to speak the word of God to you in an area that's blocked. We block areas in our life and we don't want to let anybody in. We're sure not going to let this stranger sitting on the other side of this desk in. But that's what godly counselors for. I mean, God created godly counselors for a reason. If you look at 1 Kings and 1 Samuels, all right, they're in your book. These are, one's an example of doing it right, and one's an example of doing it wrong, of seeking the right counsel. One went to his friends, and his friends give him horrible advice. And the other one got good advice. It's just great. Isn't it beautiful how the Bible, we don't think the Bible's a good counseling tool, but you can go and find stories of where they took bad and good counseling in the Bible, and it shows you the results of it. Number four, man, I love this one. Observing the activity of God. How can we observe the activity of God? Anybody? How do we observe the activity of God? I can show it to you right now. I can show you the activity of God right where we stand right now. But how do we do it? You want to get it started? Y'all hear that rain outside? That is not Mother Nature. That is God. God created that. God can speak it to stop. He can speak it to go. That is the activity of God happening right now. Something else. Come on. What else is the activity of God? Y'all got to help me here. Serving and seeing him change your life. Hey, that right there, I actually wrote on that one. The stir in your life. That voice that's stirring you to take a different path of righteousness, that ain't you. That is the activity of God in your life. Something else. Come on. I'm trying to stretch y'all. You got to talk. There's nothing wrong. You got to speak up. Something else to the activity. It could be nature. It could be anything. What else can we see as the activity of God? Come on. Hey, that's a good one right there. Let science try to explain that. That's good. That's great. That's good. See, do what?
Tides, period.
Tides, period. That's right. Explain that one. How in the world? That's awesome. He's not a God of chaos. So what's the activity of God that you see on a daily basis? Testimony of others. That was a good one. Jennifer said, the testimony of others. If you can't see the testimony, hey, and I'll just be ready. If you can't see what God's done in my life, then you're looking at the wrong God. Because you can ask my wife, I should not be up here today. You know why I'm up here today? The activity of God. Well, let me ask you about this one right here, though. All right, we talked about, and hey, listen, I promise you, if you're sitting in this room tonight, God has protected you from something to get you to this point, okay? That's activity of God. But let me ask you about this that we haven't considered. What about when God challenges you? What about when God puts that speed bump in your life? Can we see the activity of God in a challenge? How do we see the activity of God in challenges in our life? What does God do for us when we are dealing with challenges in our life? Comforts us. Say that.
Guides us.
That's it. Makes a way. He makes a way. That's the activity of God in challenges in our life. Why does God put challenges in our life? That's it. Y'all, now you're getting it going. If you don't think that there are active characteristics of God from the good to the bad, from the challenges to the victories, you're crazy. You can't prove this stuff. Consider the wind. Now you tell me how that junk works, especially you guys who love to fish. You can't see it. You can't catch it. You can't control it, but buddy, it's there. Activity of God. I used to holler and rant and rave at the waves on the lake when I'm running my trot lines because it is tough. And now I just look back and say, I see you, God. I see you. Activity of God. I could stay there all day. Number five, the peace of the Holy Spirit. Hey, this is another activity of God. The peace of the Holy Spirit. The peace of the Holy Spirit is what gives us peace in tough times. If we have peace in tough times, that's the activity of God in our life. The peace of the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing about it. In order to receive this peace of God in our life, we have to come into agreement with the will of God for what we're dealing with. So many of us want the peace of the Holy Spirit, but we want it when we're only willing to accept our will. And you're wondering, why can I not get peace in this walk? And it's because you're walking your own walk. That's just truth. The peace of the Holy Spirit comes when you accept the will of God, when you come into agreement with what God's calling you to do, what God's calling you to, whatever it is. It doesn't matter from finances to health to raising your kids to your job to what He's calling you to serve here. Whatever it is, the peace of the Holy Spirit that we all desire. Who experienced the peace of the Holy Spirit this week when they were fasting? Buddy, I did. I did. And I'm going to tell you what, and I told this to my wife. I told this to her last night. There is no amount of food. There is no amount of social media or football that I would swap for a minute with the peace of the Holy Spirit. It just resonates all over your body. It changes you. It empowers you. It makes you say, I see you, God, and I trust you even more. It makes you say, I can hear you. When I was praying over this class before I come here today, and I was sitting in my chair, and I closed my eyes, and the most peaceful, there was like seven girls in my house. Some of my daughter's friends come over before they went to youth. The most peaceful calmness come over my life. And something I have spoke over y'all, God spoke to me. And I'm going to tell you what, when this changed me and God said, there's a room full of potential leaders in there, Justin. There are no failures in that class. And I said, what do I give them? He said, you give them me. That moment of peacefulness in a chaotic house, I wouldn't swap it for nothing in the world. And that comes because I recognized that it was God. It wasn't the coffee I was drinking. It was the presence of God speaking to me. And listen, if I didn't have that relationship and I didn't understand His Word and I didn't know and believe that God still speaks to us today, I would have missed a session with God. I didn't have to say a word, and He spoke to me. That's what I'm trying to get you to see tonight. That you don't have to wait in line to experience this peace. You don't have to sign a petition. You don't have to draw a ticket. You don't have to get a number and wait for it. All you have to do is draw closer to the source and the peace that surpasses all understanding of the Holy Spirit and the activity of God will be with you, and you'll know it because you'll hear it and recognize it. That's what we're talking about. And if you get that, it'll change you for eternity. What we're doing in here is not so you'll be changed next week. What we're doing in here is so that you'll be changed for eternity, I'll be changed for eternity, and we can change people for eternity. That's what this is about. I'm sorry. Number six, wisdom. Wisdom. James 1, 5 through 8 says this. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. I'm going to stop right there. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt. What is that? Faith. Thank you. So how do you ask and believe? How do you have faith? We just talked about it. What does Romans 10 and 17 say? Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing what? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Faith comes by reading the word of God. So how does this give us wisdom? Through his word. Through studying. So look at this. So wisdom and knowledge of God builds faith, correct? Faith builds relationship. Relationship builds intimacy. And intimacy builds knowing God even more. That is the power of knowledge and wisdom of who God is. And we all have an endless supply of who God is right there. That is the reason why studying the Word of God, praying and fasting and worship and all of that, and assembling with like-minded believers and godly counsel and all of that is so vital and so important, because what it does is it strengthens us and it draws it closer to God. And when we're walking in that valley, we can hear His voice and we know and recognize it's Him because we know He's with us. That's power. That's peace. That's what we're all looking for. Number seven, supernatural intervention. Supernatural intervention. There's a story of Peter when he was freed from prison by an angel. I'm going to say this and move on. I guarantee that every one of you in here, no, I can promise every one of you in here, because you are here, has supernaturally experienced God but probably just didn't know it. Because I promise you, God has saved you from something, and we called it luck. That ain't luck. That's God protecting His child supernaturally through His angels. I promise you, every one of y'all in here have had a day where you said, "Woo, I was so lucky there." You wasn't lucky. You was blessed. Okay? You was blessed. Big difference. Big difference. Number eight, through dreams. Joel 2, 28, 29, if you read it, it goes on and says, your old men will dream dreams. Both men and women, young and old, will dream dreams. You can look at Joseph's dream. You can look at Jacob's ladder. God spoke through Joseph a whole bunch about dreams. I had a brother 2 weeks ago speak to me through a dream from God to something God had been speaking to me a long time, and I never shared it with that brother. Is it the most common? No. But it's available. And you know how, why God spoke to me through that dream? It's because I asked Him and I stood in faith and believed that He was going to. Now, I thought He was going to give me a dream, but what He did was He gave someone anointed in that to speak a dream into me. And when I tell you it was spot on, it broke me and I cried like a baby right over in that corner when he spoke it over me. And I never said a word to Him about it. Dreams. Number nine, visions. I believe this with everything I am. And it says in Joel 2, 28, 29, we just studied it. And it says, your young men will see visions, even on my servants, both men and women will see visions. I promise you, every one of y'all in here has encountered an angel in some form or fashion. You saw an angel probably in flesh form and you didn't recognize it. I know for a fact one day, I was at Smoothie King in Nacogdoches, and out of nowhere, this man pulls up on this bicycle, nasty, homeless, and hey, I had $20 to my name. Okay? Only reason I was at Smoothie King is because I had a free smoothie that week. No joke. Because I wouldn't go buy a smoothie if I only had $20. I had 20 bucks in my pocket to make it through the week with my wife and kids. And this homeless man pulled up, nasty stunk, got off of brother. He said, is there any way you could feed me? And I'm going to tell you what, the Spirit of God came over and he said, feed that man. I went in to Dunkin' Donuts, Shipley's in Nacogdoches, and I said, anything he wants, get it for him. That man took that food. His bike was parked right beside my car. I walked him out of that donut shop. I opened my door and I turned around, but he was gone. Physically impossible. We're in a huge parking lot. He was gone. Those are visions. And I'm going to tell you what God showed me to them. When I got in that car, I broke and cried and I called her. I knew what I experienced. And I said, why would you take my last 20? And he says, because I want you to know I'm the one providing for you. I just needed to see where your heart was at, big boy. Before I left that day, God had done put money back in my account. Promise you. $1,200 showed up from a survey at Regions Bank, the bank that I'm dealing with. And I even called and said, hey, y'all messed up. I said, no, Sir Lindsay. Mr. Lindsay, out of everybody in the nation, you won. You got this money because of this, this, and this. I said, honey, you ain't got to tell me no more. He turned a 20 into 12 because of that right there. No doubt in my mind, I seen a visual angel and had no clue, but it was about my heart. He'll speak to you in visions. And number 10, an audible voice, and we just talked about that. I think if God spoke to some of us in an audible voice, it'd scare us to death. If we just walk and say, God, I just need you to speak. And I was,
Peter.
Yes, Lord. I know I would. But he still speaks to us in audible voice. Is it most common? No, but he knew how our DNA would work to the point he says, I'll just put it right here. And you ain't got to wait on me. It's right there. You don't have to wait. The voice of God is right there. So this is important to remember. When God speaks, what he says will never contradict or disagree with what his written word. With his written word. He cannot contradict his word. If he is to tell you on a $15 budget an hour to go buy a $1 million home, it ain't God because it contradicts his word. I promise. The Boston Marathon and me in it contradicts God's word. I promise. I promise. If he told Chris Simmons that he had a head full of hair, that is not the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. I didn't see you back there, buddy. I love you, brother. Oh, you can't deal with me until after I get done. All right, guys. So we'll wrap this up so I can get you out of here. What do you do after you hear from God? Make sure you understand what he's saying. And listen, when we're making sure we understand what God is saying, okay, don't be scared to pause for clarity. Okay? Test that spirit. Test, because the enemy is speaking to you too. Test that spirit. Make sure it's God. And when you hear it, take it to the word. And I'm going to show you how it all lines up. Take it to the word. And if you don't know how to find it in the word, call a good godly counselman. It doesn't have to be a counselor, but counsel is good advice. Call someone who you trust and knows the word. We got pastors all over this place. We got dream teamers. Call Jolene Price. I promise she knows. But we have the power, the internet, so you got to be careful of that. But we have Bible apps and stuff like that. Test, we have the ability, no matter what level we read at, to test the spirit. Number two, get biblical confirmation. Has to line up with the word of God. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, it is not God. And then number three, for everything that we are, apply it to everything that you do. Apply it. If you make $15 an hour, and you want to buy a $1 million house, apply your money through tithe and paying your bills, and then if you have $1 million left over, then go buy that house. That's application. Apply the word of God, the fruits of the Spirit, the love and peace and righteousness, and apply all of these things to your life on a daily basis. And when we do that, God speaks to us through that. But when God speaks to you, I promise you, he's going to give you instructions out of the Bible.
Number five.
Oh, yeah. No, number four. Obey what the Lord says to do or not to do. Remember, Samuel talks about it. Samuel, 1 Samuel says, obedience is greater than sacrifice. So when God speaks his will in your life, quit disregarding it because it don't line up with yours. Be obedient. Kick that old star dude to the curb or whatever. Quit trying to buy a house you're not supposed to buy. And then number five, write down what God says, what happened when you obeyed, and put the date next to it. Why would I do that? Why would I write this stuff down? James, come on up. Why would I write this down? Because I'm going to tell you what happens. You go writing down when God showed up, when God spoke to you, and the results of it. The next time you get in a valley and you go to struggling and you can't see and you think, oh, my God, he's not going to show up, you go back and look and see what God did, and it's going to renew your faith and say, you know what? He did it before. He'll do it again because he still wants to speak to me today. Write it down, log it, journal it. My wife is the most amazing journaling person, and I have gone and looked at some of the things she showed me, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. Mine looks like hen scratch on notebook paper that are in, and I can't even read what I wrote, but I see what God did in my life because I know I wrote it down because God told me to. I love you guys, okay? I do. I'm enjoying this class. I'm enjoying y'all. Hey, are you getting anything out of it? I want you to know, I don't care if we're late or not, I'm an open book. And if there's something that y'all aren't receiving, hey, I'm fallible too. I need to know. You can't hurt my feelings, I promise. You can't hurt my feelings. So if there's something that I'm not giving y'all, please. But what does Romans 1:16 say? I made you a promise at the beginning of this thing that we're going to do this together as a family. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because what? Say it. Because the power. You got it. You got it. You got it. Because the power of God brings salvation to everybody who believes. First with Gentiles, first with Jews, then the Gentiles. I'm trying to put myself first. Here you go, James. Love you guys.
All right. Good man. All right. Real quickly, as he was talking about writing it down, so you can use your journals, or you can use your hearing from God exercise in the resources section in the back of your book. Divide a sheet of paper into two columns and label them, one, my prayer or question to God, and then the other, God's reply. And then you, in the designated column, you write down your top three prayer requests or questions for God. You put the date that you by each one, that you write each one down. And then when God speaks to you and answers your request or your questions, write down his answers in the second column. Put the date next to each one of these as well. Be sure to share what God has done in your life as a result of asking or talking to God and listening to his voice. So for your soap and your reading, it's going to be John chapter 16 through 20 this week. And the memorization verse is going to be Romans 3:23. For all, already. All right, guys, we're going to get you out of here. We love you. All right, we're going to close out with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for Justin. We thank you for the leaders. We thank you for the teaching that you have shown us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your voice that is very loud and very clear to us, Lord. Lord, go with us each day this week and let us hear your voice each and every second of the day, for we need you. Be in our we need your presence. Fill us each day. And just go with us and protect us and be with us each day, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Love you guys. Good night.